Oh, look at that. I knew something about a punk band.
Just some old fat drunk dudes jumping up and down.
This tree just planted itself right on top of the cement.
I did watch a YouTube video today.
My dad mashed potatoed
of
Enema
Chris Carrava.
Aaron doesn't know who Chris Carrava is. It's so good. That's great. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Punk Tree. We're excited you guys are back with us. We're going to spend a little bit of time in a bit of a showdown on this episode. Aaron and Jesse put out a challenge on our last show, and so we're going to get to that in a little bit. But as usual, as we kick off every episode, just want to hear a little bit about what music people have been listening to. It is kind of a deep music listening time these days, being at home. And so... first of all, hi, everybody. Hey, guys.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Aaron's yawning. I'm not exciting to him. He's yawning. I don't know if one of you guys wants to go first, just what tunes have been kind of happening for you lately. Jesse, why don't you go?
Oh, yeah, sure. Let's see. For this, I actually had to just go double check my recently played playlist on iTunes. That helps out a little bit to remember what I've been listening to. One thing I didn't have to check that for, though, was something that's definitely been playing on repeat. I mentioned it at the end of the last episode, and it's Nights Like Thieves, man. They sent us like a sneak peek of that little EP they're putting out. We played a song on that last episode, and I've actually listened to the whole EP over and over. I wasn't just saying that to be nice, because we're putting them on the podcast. I literally have been listening to it over and over. I've listened to it close to 10 times. I like it a ton. It's super high quality recording, and it's like right in my wheelhouse for like the style and genre music that I listen to.
The quality of that like production is pretty amazing.
Oh man, yeah. There's a few things I would say it reminds me of a little bit. Not that like you want to try to pigeonhole someone into like, oh, it sounds like, but there's a lot of stuff in like the guitars and some of the vocals that remind me a lot of like Seosin, Circus Survive, maybe a little bit of Chiodos. Like I said, I don't think that that's exactly what they're going for, but it just kind of gave me that vibe, and I love all three of those bands, and this whole EP from Nights Like Thieves, I dig it. Like, there's one song on there that's called All Right. That's the one that catches me the most, dude. That song is so fun to listen to. It's got like a throwback vibe. The chorus is just super melodic. I love it. So that's one thing, and I'll quickly just run through a couple other things I've been listening to. Number One Gun, I listened to a few of their albums. They're just a band I've been into for a long time. I listened to Acceptance, both of their records. Part of the reason I listened to that was because I was listening to, I don't remember what, but my family out in the backyard by the pool was like, listen to something that we like. And so I know my wife likes Acceptance too, so I threw that on. And I've listened to a few Thrice albums the last couple of days. And one thing about Thrice, I think it's pretty safe to say that is the band that the three of us can say unites us perfectly.
Yeah, I think
so. I will agree.
In fact, I feel like we like them so much, we try not to talk about them because we're worried that we're going to talk about them too much.
I agree with that as well.
How about you, Aaron?
Yeah.
So I've gotten a little bit metal this week, and
yeah,
I've been listening to Norma Jean, All Hail, which Jesse had been talking about a little while ago. And I haven't really been keeping up on Norma Jean that much in the past couple of years, but that album is pretty darn fantastic.
Dude, it's so massive.
The craziness that you kind of expect from Norma Jean, not nearly as crazy as, say, Bless the Martyr, Kiss the Child, but, you know, still has pretty outrageous stuff on it. And like Jesse was saying, just has a massive feel to it. And then Sinai Beach, their first CD, I pulled that out, When Breath Escapes, just because it is awesome. It's an incredibly well-structured metal CD, has great breakdowns, but also, like, you know, really fast-paced kind of punk style riffs in it, and just powerful, powerful lyrics. Unfortunately, I think Sinai Beach only put out two CDs, so we didn't get to hear a whole lot from them. But that first one is my favorite by them, by far.
Awesome. Yeah, I've kind of taken a different little turn. You know, we've been using Instagram a little bit just to communicate with some people that we might have on the show soon. And I've actually been trying to watch a bunch of Instagram live videos lately. So I've been listening to music as well, but I spent some time, Chris Aiken, the bass player from Strung Out, he's been just ripping some stuff on Instagram, so I've been like re-watching some of those videos, playing guitar or bass along with some tracks. It's pretty amazing. I was telling the guys, I've been watching Chris Rowe's been putting out a bunch of live videos almost every night, lead singer, guitar player for the Ataris, so I've been watching that. Goldfinger has been putting out these like pretty cool videos with each guy in the band's in his own house, in his own music room, which, by the way, I like was getting pretty jealous of each of those individual guys' music rooms, because I kind of have a music room at my house. Well, I do have a music room at my house, Jesse knows very well. So I've actually been like stealing interior decorating ideas from the guys in Goldfinger. Mike Herrera, the singer from MXPX, is the bass player, and man, if Mike ever hears this, that room he's in is just beautiful. So a little bit of extreme makeover meets some punk rock music, but I've been doing that quite a bit, just like at night playing maybe, you know, an hour of those videos in different ways, even just streaming them in the background, not necessarily watching. Yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, I think that is one good thing that we're getting out of this quarantine is seeing, like, getting the opportunity to see these guys play the stuff live, even if it is just on Instagram, and getting like a more kind of intimate view of what they're doing and how they do it. It's been really awesome. I've been watching a lot of the same ones. Chris Aiken and Jake and Rob from Strung Out are doing them quite often. And it's, I don't know, it's listening to the music is one thing, but watching them play at the same time, especially when you can just get a shot of the one guy playing his awesome guitar riffs, is, you know, because all three of those guys in Strung Out are amazing musicians.
Cool. Well, that's like a wide spectrum of stuff. Cool. Yeah, I'm loving it. So one of the things we're going to do, I mean, this kind of ties in actually, on the episode, this week, is you guys had a bit of a little, throwdown challenge that came up on the last show. Part of the hope of this podcast is to just kind of explore genres and subgenres, of the punk rock tradition. If that's almost oxymoronic, but we'll use it. This came from Aaron sharing a band he really loves, Pulley, and Jesse refusing to listen to it for a couple of weeks, at least, maybe more.
According to Aaron, it was a lot longer than at least I thought.
It's been 16 years.
He said he tried to get me to listen to that one record like a long time ago. And I don't think that he's lying. I really don't think Aaron is a liar. But the truth is, I do not recall him making the recommendation a long time ago.
Well, I think time is relevant. Like you keep saying, like, oh, that was 10 years ago, when really it happened when you were 3 years old, which was, what, like 30 years ago? But a few weeks ago. I think it was like the first or second week of quarantine.
All right.
Okay, so it wasn't super long ago.
But... So let's stick to weeks.
All right. So okay. The main thing was Aaron has been putting Pulley out there. Jesse kind of like called his bet with the band Midtown. And so did you both do it? Did you both listen to the music?
Yes.
100% yes. I excluded it from my what have you been listening to recently list, though, because I knew we were going to get into it here. Not only have I been listening to it, I've been listening to it kind of a lot. So.
And Aaron, did you taste it, or did you commit and like, you know?
Oh, I committed. I listened to that CD 2 times.
All right.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. All right. So I will maybe act as a bit of a referee here in this little showdown. Because I think that in our own backgrounds, I'm probably somewhere between the two of you. If you were like a continuum, yeah, which I don't know that it's like that, but if you were a continuum, I can appreciate both sides a lot. But I do think that Aaron was the one who put out the initial challenge.
Sure. So, but I agree that you're definitely the middleman. Like if Aaron and I were each an island, you're the bridge.
Or I'm stranded at sea. Between you drowning. So I'm gonna go ahead and let Aaron call it. You can either be the first to share your response, or you can put it on Jesse to share what he thought about Pulley. What do you want to do, Aaron?
I want to hear Jesse's thoughts on Pulley.
All right, Jesse.
I did take notes. First, I'll just start off by saying I listened to the @!_ I listened to that first just because that was more easily accessible to me. I didn't own either of the albums that you mentioned. There's that one, and then there's the album Matters. Matters was the one that you named in the last episode as like, that's the one we're going to talk about. But
that's true.
Since I did listen to both, I've got plenty to say about both. I listened to the @!, what do you want me to call that? This, I don't know what to call it.
Let's call it the curse word one.
The curse word one, because those are supposed to represent curse words. Sure. The curse word one, I listened to that first, and I listened to it almost 3 entire times through. But the first time and a half or 2 times, I was out in the yard by the pool, not giving it like my full attention. So I can admit that. And just when it was like that, there was a lot that didn't really catch my ears, like, oh, I love this, or like, oh, I can't stand it. There's nothing like that. The first song that caught my ear as something that I liked was a song that was called like Nothing to Lose.
Love that song.
Something that I heard, because like I said, I wasn't giving it my full attention on my first listen. I admit that. Something that caught my ear was that song. I was like, oh, I dig that. That's pretty cool. Then there was another song. Oh, and when I hear it, like I quickly look up, I'm like, so which song was that? What was that title? Just because I wanted to take notes so I'd have plenty to say. Then there was a song called Second Best. You know that song? So this was where I kind of felt like, I don't know if this is for me. It had some like pretty depressing lyrics that I can't get behind. Now, I do enjoy like emo music that gets into some like depressing, sad type stuff. But I have a hard time with music that's like sad and depressing that doesn't have hope still. And I heard him say that the lyric is, I've lost my faith in finding humanity. I don't think that, I think it's okay to feel that way. But to like decide to give up on humanity is, I don't know, not okay with me. Like it doesn't sit well with me. It feels hopeless and I can't sit in that. It doesn't do well for me. So that caught my ear and it made it me hard to feel. It made me feel like I couldn't attach myself to this and get on board with this, with what this guy's saying. So I didn't give up though. I continued to listen.
Well, let me say there that that's fair, and I get that. But the way I look at it is these songs are like, you know, 3.5 minute snapshots in time, right? And it might have been like, you know, a few months in this guy's life. So I don't look at it as this is reflecting, you know, Scott Rudinsky's entire outlook on life. And, you know, it might've been a season. It might've been a day. It might've been a half hour. I don't know. And there are definitely times when I feel that way and identify with that song. So I understand what you're saying, because I don't think all of life should be looked at through that sort of depressing lens.
I'm
with you.
Yeah.
But I also sometimes, like I said, identify with that.
I tried not to look up all the information about this band, but I did want just a little bit. I was like, so how long has this band been going? You told me to listen to these two albums. Where does that fit within their discography? And so I just looked up their Wikipedia page just for a minute, and I saw vocalist Scott Rudinsky. He was vocalist in 10 Foot Pole before Pulley. I was like, okay, cool. But then I was like, Scott Rudinsky?
Mm-hmm.
I know that name.
Yep.
And I have to show you something, and this is for both you and Mike. Mike, I want you to describe what I'm showing you so that, because the listeners obviously can't see. Mike, describe what I'm showing you.
I am looking at a, I would describe it as a late 90s, possibly mid 90s, baseball card of a White Sox player named Scott Rudinsky.
Okay, so I recognize this name, Scott Rudinsky, because I'm a big, big baseball fan for sure, including back in the 90s. I even went out to my baseball card collection. I was like, I got to see if I...
That I is awesome.
And sure enough, I have a baseball card of Scott Rudinsky. And I'm even thinking, like, this got to be just a different guy, right? Nope. Like, same... No, it is the same guy, the singer.
Mike, did you not know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Believe it or not, I give negative 46 shits about the 90s White Sox.
Dude, not me.
He also played for the Indians and the Dodgers.
I give even less negative shits about if you add negatives to positive. I give more negative shits about the Dodgers of any era.
Dude, the White Sox were good in like the early 90s. Like he was on like the team. They almost made it to the World Series. It was the year that Joe Carter hit that game-winning home run. The Blue Jays were the ones that knocked the White Sox out that year. That was the White Sox team that had like Frank Thomas and Ozzie Guillen and Rock Raines and Robin Ventura, even Bo Jackson. Dude, they were so good. Okay,
yeah,
that's not right, the point.
We Jesse, gotta get you were holding on to all this like a melting snowball that you couldn't throw at us.
Hey, it's the same. I was like, I know that name, Scott Rudinsky. It's the same guy, the singer of this band that Aaron loves. He's making. He was a professional baseball player for like 10 years.
Wow. Just wow. How did I not know? That's crazy. I actually listened to these bands too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wild.
Okay. Okay. So back to my Pulley review, aside from all the baseball stuff. One thing that I heard a lot of in the, what were we calling it? The bad
curse
word. The curse word album. It had like a lot of like what I would describe as just pretty cliche, like punk drums.
Sure.
Which I
could you keep doing that for a while?
Okay. So it had a lot of that, which can get a little bit monotonous. And I felt like that album did have more of that than I would prefer. Like I said, I don't hate that. But I also don't love it. So moving on to another song that caught my ear as just being too negative and hopeless for me, it was a song called Pain. The lyrics are, hey, hey, wash away the pain. I don't want to live another day. Hey, hey, no one hears me. I'm all alone in this agony. And that's another one that it sits a little hard with me. I don't mind things that are sad or depressing, but like arriving at hopelessness, just, I have a hard time. Although one other thing I could say, I feel sympathy, because if someone really feels that alone, like I'm the kind of person that's like, dude, you're not. whatever it is you're going through, like, you're not alone. There's other people that feel that way. There's other people that care about you more than you know. I mean, and that's not to say that he or whoever's writing that doesn't feel that. They're being true to their feelings, but, like, I have a hard time just arriving at that spot and giving up, basically.
Yeah, I do think that this is part of the tension between the those who maybe loved the pop punk thing and those who felt a bit averse to it. Is just like the term bubblegum went around a lot, like back when Blink-182 and everybody else did their thing. Because the lyrics, the stories sometimes were very, very serious and painful. Adam's Song, I mean, that was on a super, super popular album, and you know, that was Blink-182, that was maybe the most bubblegum thing a bit, but they were dealing with a serious, serious topic. I remember going to a friend's funeral who had taken his own life, and they played the song during the funeral, like the memorial service, which I thought was just wild. And it was, you know, it was people like me. It was a bunch of kids at a funeral place in Long Beach with broken skateboard decks, putting them on a coffin. And it was a surreal kind of thing. But I do think that generally there has been a tension between pop music and, like, you know, people who maybe feel more like serious songwriting is better. And so I don't know. I do think this shines a little bit of light on that difference. You know, Jesse and I have talked about this for a long time, that, like, I have a really hard time with any music that isn't lyrically profound. Like, it could be the most awesome instrumental musical thing, but I won't really care for it if it doesn't have something of significance. And if you just give me, like, a 3 or 4 chord simple song that has amazing lyrics, I will prefer it.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. So now it's time for the person who's going to be hosting the showdown. So do you want me to get into Matters, Mike, or should Aaron go into the Midtown and then I get back into this?
Actually, can we go back to your attention on the depressing lyrics and stuff? Because, like I said, yeah, I think that is a snapshot in time. That's the only... even a snapshot in the record, because you have the song Gone. Let me pull up the lyrics real quick. And it's not, I mean, I wouldn't say it's happy, but it starts out, I don't plan anything and I'm trying to go home. Thoughts of you are always on my mind. So I see this as a little bit different, where there's, some hope to be seen, but also a problem that is identified. So it's not just that, like, all these songs are depressing and there's no hope to be found, or we've arrived at hopelessness, right? Because you have that song that's very much not like it's over, but there's just a problem that's been identified and, like, something going on in life. I don't plan anything, I'm trying to come home. Thoughts of you are always on my mind. I run away from problems, my excuse when I am there. Rolling over once again, I'm gone. It's all that's played to see this life of tragedy. Save it for later, that's what we always said. What will they do for us? What will they do for us? What will they do for us now? Try to paint a picture of the times we would share. Never seem to be so.
I'm okay with that explanation. I really am. It was just something that caught my ear that I wanted to mention that was hard for me.
Okay.
And I think it's good that you have the explanation that it was just a snapshot. It's just one song. I guess maybe for you, you can take an album and you can be like, each song is a snapshot. Maybe yeah. what I kind of hope for is that each individual song has a silver lining. And if even maybe the album has a silver lining, but not the song.
Right.
And maybe I want each song to have it, not just the whole record. So maybe that's how I feel about it. I don't know. Okay. So am I going to get into Matters?
Or... I think so. I think let's okay. let you do, because I know Aaron only listened to one album, I believe.
Yeah.
And so why don't you go for it, Jesse?
All right. So I don't want to just give a whole summary of the record. I took so many notes on this. I definitely liked Matters like a lot more. Ooh, you know what? One more thing before I get into Matters. I think my favorite song musically from the Cursed Word album was the final track that was just called Intro Outro. And it's, I think it was just, what's the, I can't, it was just music. There was no words.
Just an instrumental. Just an instrumental.
Instrumental. I couldn't think of the word instrumental. All right. Had a little brain fart there. Okay. But I think that was like my favorite musical track. I really like that. Okay. But getting into Matters, the very first track has like awesome guitars. They just sounded great. I don't even remember what the song was called, but I liked it. Although also the very first song had some lyrics that I heard that just made me go, it just made me cringe a little bit. He said, I heard him say like, I think she wants to do me. I think the song was like about meeting some people outside a show or something. And
yep.
And like a guy's girl, like some other guy's girlfriend is into him or something. And I don't know. I'm not into that, but then also the chorus was something like what comes around will go around. And it was catchy. It sounded good. Like the melody of that chorus sounded really great. And so I didn't love the song, but overall I liked the general mix of the music. Also the second song, love the intro guitars again. Then it gets into like some faster stuff, like that fast punk isn't really my thing. And the second track definitely gets a little faster, and that's the part I didn't prefer. It's like jet. Anyways, I did like the chorus. And the main line in there is something like, it's only over when you've given up on me, something like that. Mm-hmm. I think that's a cool line. I can get behind that. Track three, this was the first song that really stuck for me. It was called Huber Breeze. There was like this constant vocal harmony, like throughout the verses and the chorus. Like every single word sung has a melody and a harmony on it. And it just sounds good. It just works. And then there's like a big old lead break, like after the second chorus. And I'm like, yeah, this sounds good. And I even thought like, all right, this is going to be my favorite song on this record. Like, I don't care what comes after. Like, I like this song, Huber Breeze. That's going to be my jam. Fourth track, Insects Destroy. Kind of made me feel like, meh. Okay. This is that cliche punk sound. Nothing necessarily wrong with that. But then I really started to like it when it got into this like really slowed down bridge, and then there's like this sick instrumental part that just was great. I loved that.
Aaron, do you want to say anything about that? Like some of those songs that maybe have that kind of skate punk, fast tempo kind of deal, but then like Pulley does have some pretty cool breakdowns that I think are different than other bands that were doing some similar thing in the same era.
Yeah. So it struck me when you say you didn't really like that. Fast tempo punk, kind of typical beat. And because that's something that I really love about the genre, is there are these really, there are simple parts to it that just come at you really aggressively, like those really quick beats that almost seems like the song is taking off on a run. And Pulley does have that, but they also have like some unique aspects in their song.
Yeah. Well, I could say that I enjoyed the Matters record pretty well. There's a few songs that kind of get lost on me with that, just what I describe as like the monotonous like punk thing, which I'm not as into as you are, and that's okay. Plenty of tracks on Matters kind of lost me in that way. Lots of the tracks on the Curse Word album lost me in that way, way more than the Matters album for sure. But I'll try to stop doing like a full like song by song breakdown. Like I'll just point out there's just a couple more that caught my ear, either musically or lyrically. There's a song called Poltergeist. I really liked that one, lyrically and musically. And then the one right after that was called Immune, and like lyrically it kind of caught me as like a pretty like emo song in the lyrics. Like he says, like, every day that you're away, don't know how we make it through. Every day that you're away, I miss another night with you.
Also, Jesse, while you're saying that, you're like bobbing your head and shimmying your shoulders while you're like singing the lyrics like you're in the Smiths or something.
Right. Like, what's interesting is I didn't love the song musically. In fact, like, for some reason, the vocals on that song just sounded the worst to me. Like, they sounded like super squashed and compressed, just like he's singing like this super high, but like they just squash it and they're like, here you go. So I didn't really enjoy that, but I liked the song pretty well, and the lyrics caught me. The song Stomach Aches actually had like a pretty like pop lead guitar sound to him, and I would be surprised that Aaron would be into something that had such a kind of a like a pop guitar in it. One of my favorite tracks ended up being Suitcase. I liked the lyrics and the song. In fact, this was the one song that came after Huber Breeze that made me go like, okay, this is probably my favorite track now. He says, now I know what it means to be wanted. Watch everything fall through. Remember last year when we were here, open mind when you needed me and my heart was open too. It sounds like kind of a sad emo thing, but it's not hopeless. And so I can get into that one, but I would say that was my favorite track. And then just to close my review and my listening of this album, there was a song called Thanks, and it was just an acoustic guitar. And I was like, ooh, acoustic guitar, this is going to be different. And I was like, this is going to be a meaningful song. I could just tell. Why would they throw this on here? And then like, the lyric that caught my attention was goodbye. And it just made me think, well, someone died. Like, who died? So thanks to all our friends. Without you, we'd be at home again. Goodbye, it's not the end. I hope that we'll see you when we're here again.
Yeah, that was Jim Cherry, who originally played bass and Strung Out, and then he played guitar and pulley. He also started a band called Zero Down. He died of a congenital heart disease. A lot of people thought it was an overdose, but it was a heart issue.
Was he a part of Pulley during either of these records that I've been listening to?
I believe that he was on the Curse Word album.
Yeah, that would make sense that he's not on the one that has the goodbye song written to him, I guess.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me, Jesse, because I like, that is a sad song, right? Like, there's a sadness here. And I think this touches back to like the difference between like the expectation we have for a songwriter to do something for us and music as like art that the songwriter puts out, and people can take it and process it as they want. But it's as much for the songwriter to do as it is for the audience. I think that's something that Jesse, you know, more than anybody, Jesse has consumed and contributed to my songwriting. And I think I do land a little more on the like a song is a snapshot of a moment. I write a lot of music. I'm sure these guys are writing tons and tons of music. And so when you have an album, then it kind of pushes over to Jesse's like idea here of like, well, you make an album around, you know, you pick this song and that song and that one and put them together. I think it's interesting that, you know, you felt there was some monotony, there was some generic kind of punk stuff. And then you use the word emo a bunch of times actually to describe someone who maybe in the midst of all that is actually trying to process death and despair and all these things in their own way. So totally, which I also think is like a pretty decent segue, if we can do that, over to the other side of the conversation.
All right. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think we've covered Pulley, at least Jesse's perspective on Pulley. And as I like switch sides here as to honor Scott Rudinsky's baseball career, which I did not know he was like a bench coach for the Angels recently and he was a pitching coach for the Indians. What the heck? Mm-hmm. Anyway, I should know that. It's very weird that I don't. I've been playing fantasy baseball with Jesse for a million years. He's holding up the baseball card again. So if we can have the side change though, right? So here we are, baseball metaphor, outfield, defense is coming in and the batters are going out. Let's switch to Aaron, who I think was ostensibly less comfortable taking on Midtown than Jesse was taking on Pulley.
Like, I think that's fair to say.
You had some.
That's accurate.
Yes, you had some sort of what's the word? Like visceral. You had a visceral response to taking on some pop punk.
You can already hear him huffing a little bit, like, yeah. Oh,
God. And so let's maybe like, what did you listen to by Midtown? And then give us some of the take.
So I listened to Living Well is the Best Revenge by Midtown. And your assertion is absolutely accurate. Was a bit uncomfortable about this, but I gave it a shot. I committed and I did listen to the CD two times. And I didn't like it that much. I did. Okay, so I honestly listened and tried to just really listen because I've learned like there are many bands that I have to listen to multiple times before I hear it and like really hear it, you know, and start to like it. Midtown might be one of those. I don't know. I'll give them another shot. But the first thing that caught my ear was that they do very much the sort of cliche pop punk stuff, like the very happy sounding, simple leads, the like muted.
I love so much that Jesse is kind of mocking like skate punk drums and mm-hmm. Aaron is mocking pop punk palm muting vocally. Yeah. I want to sample them and make a song.
And that's something I thought about when you were describing Pulley, because you were talking about something that I really love about the genre, even though it's like you do see it all over the place and like almost the exact same drum beat is played so many times in different punk songs, but I like it. And then lyrically, most of the songs, and like maybe I have to look into it more, I don't know, but it sounds like your cliche pop punk guys singing about girlfriends leaving them, or you know, like how much they'll hang out with their friends over their girlfriends, things like that. One song that started and I thought, oh, I'm kind of getting into this, was Faulty Foundation, which sounds very much like Pennywise, I would say. It does have that fast drum beat and the following guitars. And so I was kind of getting into it. I played it a few times, but then honestly, it sounds like they're trying too hard to me to be really punk. Like, look, guys, you need to take me seriously because we can play fast too. That's what it sounds like to me.
And then it gets into the chorus and he's like, whoa, whoa. And you're like, nope, pass.
That, yes, you've reminded me, that's pretty much exactly what happened. I mean, I didn't skip, I listened through it, and I listened through it a couple more times, but I was really just not into it. And like I said, I gave it a solid listen through two times. But, and I, it also made me reflect and think about why I don't like pop punk so much. And you kind of helped me out with that, with your description of Pulley, because there's like these themes throughout that I can't identify with, like the being upset with girls leaving me, because I mean, no girl would ever leave me, you know?
Yeah. All the girls just probably, they should just want to do you. That's what you want.
Yeah. And my wife, you probably couldn't hear, but she's in the background laughing. And I heard her click onto a divorce lawyer's website just to prove a point. No, but, and you know, not with like the, it's not that I can't identify with the sadness and like all that, but it's just not something that I want to dwell on and like hear about. It's not important enough to me. It seems like very adolescent angst sort of things that are terribly minor problems that I just don't care about. Yeah.
I guess I could say within pop punk, like some of that stuff, so many songs just being about girls and girlfriends and stuff like that. I could say that I'm not super into that either. Like, it's not like, oh, that's what I want all songs to be about. That's what I like and prefer. I think just overall, I can stay into it. It's, I guess it's just fun and I like the sound. Even though I can get behind the fact that like, oh, yeah, these lyrics are dumb. Like, this song is about something super dumb. I can admit, like, I agree with you. I agree with you.
And something that I've learned, because I was kind of a grumpy middle school, high school punk rocker who was like, also found myself not being into like the drive-through bands. Yeah. Like, that wasn't my deal. Like, and I think I just took myself so seriously. And I think I still struggle with that, like taking myself very seriously. And so, you know, being somebody who was also trying to make music, and then I went to college and I was a poetry major, like I just took it so deeply and profoundly serious that if somebody was going to like publish something, if somebody was going to produce something, then it needed to be deep, right? And I think that like now that I've been a teacher for a long time and working in high school, I think I'm maybe more honestly, and maybe it's a little bit of balance, realizing that like it really came from angst and it came from the experience that people are having, and not everybody is taking my take on all of the things. And so what to me might feel kind of, you know, popcorn and bubblegum about like the pop punk music scene, for a lot of like teenagers, who a lot of the audience for this music was, you know, and is younger adolescent kind of teenage people, it is speaking to the condition, right? It is speaking to the moment in those people's lives. Yes. Otherwise it wouldn't have the commercial success that it has. And so it's okay. And I don't think that there's like a, this sucks thing between the two of you in talking about this. Sucks. but I do think it represents like where the genre has gone. Right. And that is like the whole point of us like starting having these conversations is like, it's okay. It's okay that the tree came up and branched out and there's a pop punk thing over there and some people can go build a swing on that thing. And there's this like skate punk thing that happened over here. And there's a place where metal came in and there's a place where hardcore music developed out of it and all the other stuff that kind of has happened. And that's okay. And so I, you know, maybe to put a little bow on this showdown, a quick question for both of you is, you know, would you listen again or will you listen to more if there's other music? Let's go back to Jesse first.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, would you be willing to take on like 10-foot pole? I actually was a bigger fan of 10-foot pole. That was like one of the first, you know, those Epitaph records, comps and stuff back in the day. Or are you like going to continue listening to more of what you already heard?
I would probably listen to several more of the Pulley records, get through the discography and find out if there's other albums that I like more or less than this. I would definitely listen to Matters again, because there were several distinct points where it was like, I like this. And so I would definitely listen to that again, but I'm into the idea of like checking out the full discography and finding out what else I might like from them.
Cool. Aaron?
I would give Midtown another try. I would definitely look at other records.
Liar. You're lying.
Did Midtown make more than one record?
Yeah, they put out a couple EPs. I want to say 3, maybe 4 full lengths. I'm not 100% sure. I think after this record that I asked you to listen to, I think they put out something on like a major label. So they put this one out on Drive-Thru, and then I think they got kind of upstreamed to, I don't remember what label, maybe Universal or something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but they put out something that way.
Okay.
Okay, so from Jesse, I'm taking a hard yes. And from Aaron, I'm taking a deceitful probably.
I think he's trying to be nice. I think he would gladly just be like, no, I would not listen to this again.
Well, my natural inclination is to say, no, absolutely not. But I'm trying to break that part of my personality and be a little more open. Because I have found like there are songs on the radio that I do like. I don't want to admit it. Now the public knows, since I've said it on this podcast, but I'm trying to be more open. So I'll give Midtown another listen. I'll listen to their other stuff. Probably I will be more inclined to do that. But you also, when you started talking about Drive-Thru records, reminded me of some other bands that I liked, like Finch.
Yeah, see, there we go. In fact, I was about to just recommend like, well, don't, if you're not that into Midtown, let me give you some other ideas. Like, you don't have to keep giving them a try, but like, let me try to find something that might work more for you.
All right. So, thank you guys. I feel like that was civil. There was decency between the two.
No, Aaron didn't like my music.
And I finally made Jesse cry.
He didn't like it.
Maybe Jesse had a really cool idea, and I think we'll do this. I don't know how well it's going to go, as we kind of close out, one of the best things about us having these conversations is that we are exploring each other's music that maybe we didn't give a good listen to back before. And so what we're going to do is we're going to do a little bit of a shuffle. And so Jesse, I don't know if you want to like take over and kind of give us instructions on what we should do.
All right, so here's the game. It's meant to be fun or silly or whatever, but you got to open up your full iTunes library. I don't know how many songs you have in there. I've got like 17,000 or something like that. I use iTunes Match. Okay, but you open up your library, you go to the songs, you hit shuffle, and then you have to skip a number of songs, and then like whatever, I'll give you the number, and then whatever you land on, you have to share what it was that you came up with. Does that make sense?
Yep.
All right. Who's going to go first?
I will go first.
Okay.
Are we ready? Okay. All right. So I got my thing ready. Here we go. So I'm going to shuffle 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I came up with the song No Trivia by From Autumn to Ashes. Ooh, right.
From Autumn to Ashes. Okay.
All right, Aaron, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, go.
From the Tombs of Five Below by Unearth off of Watchers of Rule.
Okay. Is that a track that you're glad to have come up? Would you listen to that right now?
Oh, yeah. All right.
All right, I'm going to go. So I pulled up mine. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, I got Please Take Me Home by Blink-182 from the Take Off Your Pants and Jacket album.
Fitting.
Yeah, I mean,
completely fitting since we're all on quarantine and none of us are wearing pants.
Did anything come up in the ones that you skipped that caught your eye?
Yeah, I had some funny stuff. I had some like Tracy Chapman. I had some Eric Clapton. Yeah. Five Iron Frenzy.
I scrolled through Whatever It Takes by Imagine Dragons, a Switchfoot song.
I had a Crush, Crush, Crush. The Paramore.
But
it's the Vitamin String Quartet version.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, dude, nice. You have Paramore in your library? You hate pop punk.
I also have a wife who likes Paramore. Oh. And I liked their first album. I don't remember what it was called, but...
It was called All We Know Is Falling.
Yeah, that one.
Yep.
And then I also had Death of Seasons by AFI, the Vitamin String Quartet version.
All right. Cool. All right. Well, thanks for playing. Well, it seems as though Aaron mostly listens to the Vitamin String Quartet. I don't know how much of his music actually comes from the actual bands. Is that true, Aaron?
Yeah. Most of the stuff that I listen to, I learn about through the Vitamin String Quartet. They're actually the only music that I buy, and then I figure out like, oh, there's a band called Strung Out, maybe I should check them out. The string version is pretty cool, so guitars and drums would probably sound pretty cool too.
Yeah. Anyways, well, everyone, thanks for checking out the episode. If you've got the time and you're willing, definitely go give us a little review on your platform wherever you're listening to this. We'd appreciate that very much. Have a great week. Next week we'll be back with some more Vitamin String Quartet.